Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it is time for another one of my interesting and fascinating guests, and you know that to be true if you've been listening to the program. Well, I'm not going to disappoint today. I've invited a special guest. Nick Tassler's on the program with me today. He's founder and CEO of Decision Pulse. Get this, he's a human behavioralist, an author, a lecturer. The website for today's program is decisionpulse.com. Nick, welcome to the program.
Hey, David. Glad to be here.
I'm very glad you're here because my listeners and everybody out there in the investing world right now needs your expertise, and that is in the area of helping people make good decisions and better decisions. And your book is titled The Impulse Factor, An Innovative Approach to Better Decision-Making. How timely did you plan this, Nick, that it'd be something we could talk about when the market's hitting all-time highs?
Let's just call it either dumb luck or the God smiled on me. How about that?
I'm going to give you a third choice. I bet it was a good, well-made decision.
There you go.
Well, great to have you on. Now, give my listeners a quick rundown on your background, because I think that's also another really helpful and interesting thing about some of the different parts of what you've done.
Sure. Well, I'm a organizational psychologist by trade. That's what my training is in. And essentially what that means is I've studied the psychology of people at work, specifically you already mentioned, how people make decisions. So I've done that as a management consultant in my past and current life, and was also the director of research and development for a think tank called TalentSmart based in California. And when I was there, I really got entrenched in this idea of decision making and on kind of the impact that it has not only on our work lives but also in our personal lives and certainly in our personal finances.
Absolutely. And you are in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
That's correct.
I was just there, and I know some folks I'm going to have to send you over to talk to help them make some good decisions.
Sure.
So, all right, well, that's very good. And so you talk about a lot of different things in your book. And again, the book is The Impulse Factor, An Innovative Approach to Better Decision Making. And I'm sure that my listeners will agree with me on this. Every single one of us could do a better job making decisions. And I confess to Nick that sometimes before we started the program, I said, Nick, sometimes I make decisions a little too quickly. So I have to force myself to slow down, try to take in, make sure I'm not missing any facts. But the reality of the world we live in, well, a lot of times we don't have that luxury of, putting off a decision for 2 weeks while we study every aspect. We have to sometimes make decisions, especially in the business world or when it relates to our finances, kind of with as much information we can get and then make that decision.
Yeah, well, there's a decision.
There's a balance
really,
in there, right?
Yeah, certainly. It's a balancing act. And I guess I'll go back to what you said a second ago, which is we could all make better decisions. And I think sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. What I mean by that is there's a thing called the outcome bias, which essentially what that says is that we tend to evaluate the quality of a decision based on the outcome. And, you might be sitting back thinking, and your listeners also, well, duh, isn't that the definition of a good decision or a bad decision? That's not actually true. So let me use an investing example. For instance, you might employ a market timing strategy. And maybe that works for you, but by and large, that's sort of a game of chance. And so on the one hand, if you make the decision to buy at a certain time, at a certain moment in time, whether or not you deem that a good decision or a bad decision really doesn't matter whether or not it turned out whether the market was going up or going down right after you bought. It really has more to do with chance. So it's kind of like, if you flip a coin and you chose heads and it turns out heads, well, hey, that was a great decision. And the next time you choose heads and it turns out tails, oh, that was a terrible decision. Well, the decision didn't change. All that changed was the chance variables of the outcome. So, sometimes I think we need to give ourselves a little bit more credit and be a little bit more confident in the choices we make.
I like that. I always tell people, especially in the business world that know the financial planning business, and because there's two parts of financial planning. It's providing the advice, but it's also the business aspect of providing that advice. And I say, nobody hands you a book when you start a financial firm like I did 16 years ago, or you go into doing these things. Now there's training classes and all that, but for entrepreneurs out there, nobody really says, here's a complete book of how to do this. So on my list of things to do, I'm sure you have more books to write and to come out with, Nick. On my list of books to write is the 267 things they don't teach you in business school. So what my point is, it's easy to look back and say, golly, I could have made some much better decisions. But what you're saying, maybe that's just, that's too harsh.
Yeah, and you know, and of course it cuts both ways. I mean, yeah. There's certain times when certainly we could have made a better decision, but I think it's really critical if you want to, you know, my approach, my focus is really on helping people improve their decisions, not on evaluating whether that one was a good one or that one was a bad one, but in generally to make better decisions.
Yeah, I don't need you to do that, Nick. My wife can do that for me, okay? All right, I don't need any help there. She does that very well.
Yeah, speaking of, you got the wrong person on the phone. I should get my wife on here.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll get them both on the phone. But before we do that, we have Nick Tassler on the line with us. And the website is decisionpulse.com. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Nick Tassler's on the line with us. He is the CEO and founder of Decision Pulse, and that's the website too, decisionpulse.com. You know, before the break, Nick, we kind of started to get into it, and then we kind of drilled down on one subject. And I kind of threw out there something I think a lot of people would like, including myself, is if you can give us a little bit of coaching here, and we'll, of course, pick up the book to get the full explanation, but give us a little coaching on how we strike that balance between gaining what obviously would be best, which is perfect facts and perfect knowledge and 100% knowledge of what you need to make a decision and needing to make a timely decision. How do we balance that?
Yeah, what I would recommend more than anything is use a process, a reliable, repeatable process that you can turn to every single time you make a choice.
I like that. Do you have one? Is it in the book?
You know, as a matter of fact, I do.
Outstanding, because boy, I could use that.
So really, the caveat here, the asterisk is that process has to be simple. So you could go and you could read a lot of information on decision making advice. And there's a lot of processes out there, but the fact of the matter is they are far too involved and complex for us to actually use on a daily basis. So the process I've come down with has three basic components, three steps, if you will. And, you know, the shorthand for them is know, think, and do. Know, think, do. So what I mean by the know piece, which is first and foremost, and that is ground zero for every decision, which is to figure out exactly what is it that you want to do. So, for instance, in your personal finance, and David, as an experienced financial planner, I'm sure you do this with all of your clients, the very first thing, before you even talk about what's a good investment, what's not, et cetera, you get clear on what this person's goals are.
That's exactly right.
My goals might be different than yours. It might be different than the next client that comes in the door. So it's really, you know, and there's a lot of factors there. It could be, you know, what do I want to do with my retirement, or do I want to retire, and when do I want to retire? And I always start there because I think the tendency is we all sort of, we don't think that much about that, and we just kind of go about our day doing what we think is the American dream or doing what our neighbors are doing, and they might have very different life goals that require a very different financial plan.
You know, Nick, you're nailing it, because very often I have to remind people that you need to invest with what you're comfortable with and what you're trying to accomplish, not what your neighbors or what your friends or your coworkers or whoever, because, you know, there's so much of a mess there. I've met with people recently with a woman, and she's a working professional, and, you know, she's been in and out of the market several times because she gets scared. And I'm like, why do you have that much money in the market? She goes, well, you know, and first thing she starts telling me is about some other people she knows and what they do. I said, I don't care about them. Let's talk about what you're doing. If you feel like you have to pull your money in and out of the market, then you shouldn't be there, or at least not have that much money there, or should be a lot more conservative. We moved her over, and she's into something much more conservative, and she's already more relaxed. And it's so we kind of started with that, you know, what's your goal? Obviously, for a lot of people, it's to have a nice retirement or to have other things they do. But we got to know. See, I had to know what she needed so that we can then think about what you're going to tell me about, think about the solutions and how to accomplish that.
Right, exactly. You know, your finances should support your life, not the other way around.
I'm writing that one down. That's a good one.
Yeah,
they really should, because the whole point of working hard and accumulating and saving is so that when you stop working, the money starts going to work to provide that income that you need when you're done.
Well, and that's right. And, you know, and I imagine you have some clients that say, you know what, I want to do my traveling in my 40s. I don't want to wait till I'm retired. And so that requires a, you know, a different plan still. So it's really important that you get clear on that. And there's about, as a good starting point, there's about 8 universal values that psychologists have identified that are common to people all across the planet. And the really important thing that I always recommend for my clients, you know, not financial planning clients, but, you know, life coaching and executive coaching clients, is figure out which of those 8 things is the most important to you. So, for instance, the value that's most important to me is freedom. So I'm going to make different life choices, career choices, investment choices very differently than somebody whose primary value is security.
That's an outstanding point, because that right there describes the difference between, say, an independent financial planner like me, who is an entrepreneur and owns his own business, versus the financial person that works for the big brokerage firm that doesn't have nearly the freedom or the flexibility or latitude that I do, but he or she obviously is part of a larger organization, and there's security that comes with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
And you know, at the sum total, so say, you know, the day when you're both 60, you and the person who followed a path within a corporation, it really doesn't matter what the end, you know, total accumulated lifetime income is, because there was 30 or 40 years of life that had to be lived in between there.
That's a real good point. Yeah, it's not just about the end, but it's about the journey.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's excellent.
So anyway, and actually, you know, if you go to decisionpulse.com, there's a free assessment on there that can tell you which of those 8 things is most important to you. It takes about 5 minutes. So
I like that.
Yeah, if you're interested, check that out.
So, I am, and our listeners are going to go there too, decisionpulse.com. Nick Tassler's our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Tassler is on the line with me. DecisionPulse.com is the website. If you're just joining us, Nick is a human behaviorist, and he's got degrees in psychology, and he knows his stuff about how people make decisions or how to make good decisions. The book is The Impulse Factor, an innovative approach to better decision making. And we were talking before the break about Nick's got 3 steps that he recommends people take in making a decision. It's a process. Number one, we talked about, was to know what that decision is and what you're trying to accomplish. And then you want to go ahead and go through number 2 and 3, Nick?
Certainly. So the next step, the think component, is really when people talk about making good decisions, this is the part that they really think about. And like I said, this is step 2, not step 1. But but now we're getting into the piece of, you know, how do we be rational, essentially? And so the think piece is really So once you've identified what is your strategic direction, your decision pulse, once you know what that is, how do you actually size up the options to make sure that you're going to be aligned with that direction? And so this think piece is really about how do you, you know, there's over 100 well-documented, predictable human biases when it comes to making decisions. Trying to memorize those and think about which one you might succumb to at any given moment is an exercise in futility. So I like to focus on just what's the solution. Let's forget, there's a whole bunch of problems that you might fall into, but
right.
What's the solution, right? And the solution is something I call, it's very simple, just consult the anti-you. So experimental psychologists have identified about 5 or 6 very validated, well-proven methods of moving people from emotional, impulsive, irrational thinking to what's called System 2 calculated logical thinking. And there are things like consider the opposite or take an outsider's perspective. And really what they all have in common is they ask you to put yourself in somebody else's shoes by either asking somebody else what their opinion is on your situation. And so that's why I say consult the ante you. And really all you're trying to do is get the opinion of somebody who's not you, who's not feeling the emotions that you're feeling, who's not bringing the same prejudices and biases based on your own life experiences to the table. Just bringing some objectivity to the table.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is how do we, where in this process do we get the emotions out of it, which is obviously a very difficult part, you know, and I'm sure you, you've seen this written about just extensively. And, you know, a lot of times we start with the decision or the outcome or the decision or what we want to do, and then we go find all the reasons to justify it.
Mm-hmm. And then that's exactly right.
So we've started with the do and skipped the kind of some of the pieces. And I think that's why we naturally reach out to other people, is to help kind of prop ourselves up when we're having difficulty with the emotional aspect. And now, is there a way of looking at the thinking part that, you know, is a way of sufficiently thinking about something where you've weighed, you know, is there, you know, where we do like a, you know, let's do advantages in this column and disadvantages in the other column, or, you know, is there a way of doing that that will help us frame it up and spend enough time on that?
Well, you know, you've got the standard Ben Franklin pros and cons,
right.
The moral algebra or moral calculus, I forget what he calls it exactly, but so you've got that, and that's okay. The problem that I have with that method is it doesn't provide accurate weight to the different pros and the different cons. You know, it's just how many pros and how many cons, even though one of the pros might be so far, the 800-pound gorilla, or the con, vice versa.
Yeah, it doesn't provide a true weighted average or a properly, it's not applying values to those things.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, and depending on how much time you have, right? So I do everything with, you know, it might be an individual person all the way to, you know, a Fortune 500 corporation who's doing their strategic planning. Well, we can take months to make that decision.
Yeah.
And so it kind of depends on what kind of a choice it is. But really, by and large, the thing you can always do is consult an anti-you. Find a trusted friend, trusted colleague, trusted advisor, and just bounce it off them. How do you see this situation? How do you frame it? Because that's really what you're trying to do, is get a different frame of reference.
That's very good. The third step is the do part. And Lisa's telling me we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and do the do part. We'll do the do part right after the break, because we got to do the break. Nick Tassler is our guest, and the website is decisionpulse.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Tassler's been joining us on the program with DecisionPulse.com. The book is The Impulse Factor, An Innovative Approach to Better Decision-Making. And before you get into the do part of our decision-making process, Nick, I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do the next time I'm up in Minneapolis. I'll make sure I look you up, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Just
so,
make sure it's summer for your sake, okay?
I was up there not too long ago. It is chilly. But it's refreshing for us from down here in the South. We, you know, all of our humidity is in the air. Yours is all on the ground.
Right.
Well, tell me about
awesome.
Tell me about the do part of the decision making. Is this where we actually put the wheels on the pavement?
That's exactly what it is, David. You know, and this I feel like is probably the most overlooked element of decision making, and particularly most of my work is with organizations and with teams. You know, whether in a small business or a large corporation. And frankly, this is the biggest hurdle. We succumb to analysis paralysis. We get so wrapped up in the think piece of the equation that we forget that the whole point of making a decision is to make something actually happen. And so I emphasize this do piece, which is just a reminder that this is not a thought experiment. This is a real life decision that you must make and you must actually implement. And so the do is quite simply a reminder. It's sort of a mental bookmark that the whole point of this is to actually make something happen, not just to think about it.
I like that. We want to slow down long enough to think about it and not be too impulsive. But at the same time, once we have gotten that thought process complete, and maybe, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, if you haven't change your mind about a big decision, maybe a couple of times, maybe you haven't thought about it enough, okay? So maybe, you know, once you get past that, though, then it's like, okay, now you need that pulse, that impulse, which is where I get it now. That's where your decisionpulse.com comes from. You need them to make that decision and then get on with it.
Well, and so the fact of the matter is, you know, you'd mentioned something earlier about ideally, you know, we have 100% of the information. Well, the fact is, a decision by its very nature is some kind of an estimation about the future.
Exactly. Otherwise, it'd be a fact, right?
That's exactly right. And you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, I don't care if we're talking about Warren Buffett or nobody really knows what's going to happen. So all we can do is trust the process, make sure that we're clearly defined, that we know what our strategic direction is from the beginning, know what we want, think about the options, take some measures to make sure that we're not going to fall into a blatantly irrational trap, and then you just got to make a choice. And understand that this is not the end of the story, that this choice will be followed by another one and another one and another one.
Well, and Nick, this won't be the end of our story because I'm going to have you come back and be on another program. We are out of time for today. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Tassler has been our guest. The website is decisionpulse.com. The book is The Impulse Factor, An Innovative Approach to Better Decision Making. Nick, we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you, David.
All right, my pleasure.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.